I move up here when I'm singing my solo.
Good morning, Ascend Church.
She have any grateful people in the house this morning. As they used to say, he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way, put food on my table. I have clothes on my back. I have a roof over my head. And mostly I'm glad to be saved and on my way to heaven. All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, sing. Except for a heart singing, hallelujah. Yes, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. With me, 'cause you're worthy of it all. Oh, you're worthy of it all. Oh, for from you are all things, and who you are all things, you deserve the glory.
Somebody declare his word.
Come on and sing it out.
up. There it is. You are standing on holy ground, says the Lord. For right now, in this place, there is a door that is open.
Yeah, God.
There is a door that is open into the realm of the Spirit.
All right.
And if you are willing, you can enter, says the Lord.
Yes, God.
If you are willing and you enter with a heart full of worship,
yes, God,
you can step right into my throne room, says the Lord. Because I said the door has been opened for my children to come into my presence. Lay down that which has held you back, says the Lord. Right now, with one word, just say, Lord, I lay it down. Just say, Lord, forgive me of anything I've done wrong, and just step into my presence, says the Lord. Because I want to meet with you, and I want to touch your life, and I want to do things for you that cannot be done by human hands. I want to meet with my people, says the Lord. So come into my presence. Come into my presence. Come into my presence. Family, there is such a presence of the Lord in this place. There is such a presence of the Lord, and if you choose to, you can enter in. It is not weird or strange or spooky spiritual. The Bible says that we have been born of the Spirit. We are spirit man. We have a soul and we live in a body. But the way we connect to the Father is by the Spirit. And so yield to your spirit man and switch your mind off, says the Lord. Switch your mind off and begin to see where you are standing. For where you are standing is hallowed ground. Lift your hands in this place today. Forget about who's standing next to you. Father, I thank you for your presence that floods this building. I thank you for your presence that floods this building. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving amongst these rows and amongst these seats and upon these people. I thank you, Father, for a stirring in the spirits of the people within this building. I thank you, Father, that as we step into your presence, the cloud of your glory fills this place. I thank you, Father, that no demonic force can stand in your presence. I thank you that chains begin to fall off of people. I thank you, Father, that anxieties and fears and illnesses, disease begins to fall off of people because it cannot stand in your presence. I thank you, Father, for strength within each spirit man. Father God, that we begin to become strengthened in your presence. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, minister to us. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. Draw us into God's presence. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I don't know what's happening in this place, but just in the last few weeks, and I don't usually say something because I kind of just take it as a personal thing, but I'll tell you something, that I stood here and two huge angels stood beside me. And I don't think for one minute that it has to do with me. It has to do with this church. It has to do with what God wants to do in your hearts and in your lives and through this church. And so we've begun to pray in such a way over the past few months that we have just opened a portal into heaven, that there's no telling what God can do and what God will do. So I ask you to have hearts that are sensitive to the things of the Spirit. I ask you to have hearts that are hungry for the things of the Spirit. I ask you to call out to the Lord for what you need and for what you want and for what you want to see. And that those of you that have had prophetic words of your life and you have not seen them come to pass, you've had scriptures that you've been holding on to and you haven't seen it come to pass, I want you to lay it before the Lord today. And we're going to begin to see those things start to accelerate in our lives. There's going to be an acceleration in your life. There's going to be an acceleration of the things of the Spirit. as you long for them, as you desire, as you step out and say, Lord, I'm not settling for anything less than what you have for my life. I'm not settling less for anything less than what you promised me. If that's you, just tell the Lord, I'm not settling less, for I'm not settling for less. I'm going to take everything you have for me. I'm going to take everything you have for me. I'm going to take everything you have for me, Lord. I'm going to walk in it all. Father, I thank you for a breakthrough that is in this building right now. I thank you for a breakthrough that is upon families. I thank you for a breakthrough that is upon families. James, you're going to see a breakthrough. A breakthrough that you can't make happen with your the natural. God's working on your behalf. There's something that's just going to just snap and change in your favor. Something's going to change in your favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship that last song.
circumstances would change.
Somebody receive it this morning.
I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that the breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that the devil fall alive in Jesus' name.
About you, but I don't want to just talk about God. I don't want to just hear something that tickles my ears and go home. I want to come. You know, the Bible says my house will be called a house of worship. And Jesus said the day is coming when those will worship me in spirit and in truth. This is a house of worship. And when you worship God the way that we were worshiping God, you can expect His presence to move amongst us. Let me tell you, things happen in His presence that could take years of you just slogging along and praying and believing. God can change things. Just like they sang, I pray for your healing, pray for your breakthrough. Amen. Praise God. Well, won't you turn and greet someone, tell them, I'm glad to be in church today. Wonderful. How are you all doing? Everybody good today? Long weekend? You like it? Labor Day weekend. Welcome to those that are watching online. Welcome to Ascend Church. So glad that you've joined us this morning. And we're going to have church today. Amen. Apparently, we have one more song, but I'm going to welcome you anyway. I just want to welcome. Is there anybody that's visiting for the first time today? We'd like to just honor you. God bless you. Come on, let's welcome whoever's visiting for the first time. God bless you. Wonderful to have you here. Demony will get a gift bag, a visitor pack to you. We ask you, just take a moment and fill out. There's a card that says guest. Fill that out for us. We'd love to get that back from you. Drop it in the offering bucket at the end of the service. We're just so glad that you joined us today. Pray that you get everything that it is you need from the Lord. Amen. Welcome to each of you. Let's just go ahead. So those that are watching, thank you. Those that are watching on Facebook Live, welcome. If it's one of our Ascend Church members, we miss you. We're glad you're joining us online. Come join us in person as soon as you can. Those that are watching from around the world, welcome. We pray that this message will minister to you, that the worship will minister to you, that you'll receive as if you were sitting in church. You'll have church right there in your home. And if you go ahead, let us know where you're watching from. Share the live stream. You never know whose life it could touch today. I know there's people that have, you know, someone in my family faced a devastating medical report, and you know, it's like from one day to the next your life can change. It's like I'm going along straight and now I've got this to deal with. And so you never know who's dealing with what. Go ahead and share the live stream and let God minister to somebody. Those that are watching on YouTube, welcome. On our website, on our mobile app, we're glad that you joined us. And I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. No matter what we do, the first one is we want you to know God. Second is we want you to find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference with your life. Amen. Amen. So we got one more worship song. That sounded like a lot of songs. Sounds good.
Praise the
Before
Lord.
We're edified and we receive the message to give God praise, to give Him worship, to declare He is great.
Let's stand up together, everybody. We're going to worship the Lord with this one more song, because He is great and He's greatly to be praised. I said He is great. And He is greatly to be praised. Say, I will bless the Lord. I will give Him praise. Come on, sing it out. Let's sing it out.
You give life. You give love. Yes. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
You give hope.
You restore every heart.
Great are You, Lord.
Great are You, Lord.
greatly are you to be praised. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to the earth to redeem us. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you that your word brings freedom, that your word brings wisdom, your word brings life, your word brings direction. We thank you, Lord, that your word is what shapes our life. And today, I thank you, Father, that you anoint your word as it goes forth today. I thank you, Father, that you speak to every person today. I thank you that our faith rises up bigger, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory for everything that will be done and said today. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout out amen. Turn to somebody, welcome them, tell them you're glad to see them today. Turn and greet somebody, that's it. Turn around, say hi to someone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, how's everybody doing today? I want to say thank you to the worship team, the singers, musicians doing such a wonderful, wonderful. Come on, give them a, give God thanks for them today. And praise God, Soleil did such a great job today. You know, she's a little shy, but you excelled today. You got that talent, that gift, that voice. So that was wonderful to hear. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready. I am ready. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. You can be seated. Don't leave the building. Just be seated. Just take your seat. Amen. Listen, today I want to speak to you about the greatest ones. And I'm going to start out with something that Jesus said. I think that's a good place to start. And I want to read what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10. Starting with verse 42, look what he said. Jesus gathered them all together. And he said to them, those recognized as rulers of the people and those who are in top leadership positions rule oppressively over their subjects. But this is not the example that you are to follow. You are to lead by a different model. If you want to be the greatest one, that's where I got the title from, the greatest ones. If you want to be the greatest one, I never said it. Jesus said it. If you want to be one of the greatest ones, then live as one called to serve others. The path to promotion and prominence comes by having the heart of a bond slave who serves everyone. For even the Son of Man, now Jesus talking about himself, the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone. And to give his life as the ransom price in exchange for the salvation of many. Man, in this world, you are considered great when you have a lot of people serving you. The more people you have serving you, the greater you are. But Jesus said that the way to true, real greatness is not by how many people are serving you, but when you are serving other people. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, now, I'm not interested in being great in the world. I couldn't care what they think about me. I don't care how many followers I've got, how many likes I get on social. I don't care about it. None of that does nothing for me. I want to be great in the kingdom of God. And if you want to be great and live a blessed, fulfilled life, you have to serve other people. You have to have this attitude of being a servant. Now, Jesus is not talking about a one-time event. Well, okay, Pastor Steve, I'll serve next Sunday. I'll put it down on my calendar. No, this isn't something that happens every once in a while. Jesus is talking about a lifestyle. He's talking about a mindset where you live to serve and help and bless other people. You're always looking for ways to serve. You're helping a friend, or maybe you're volunteering at the hospital or taking care of a sick relative. I mean, it's not something you force yourself to do. It becomes a part of who you are. You've developed that attitude, that mindset of being a servant. Let me tell you, when you do that, that's when you truly will have fulfillment and happiness and peace in your life. The reason why a lot of people are not unhappy, or unhappy, they're not happy, is because they focus only on themselves. Think about my dreams and my goals and my problems that I'm having to face. Really, that'll limit you, because God created us to give. And the great ones in God's sight and in God's kingdom are those who live to serve others, have this attitude of serving others. That's God's path to promotion and prominence, because serving is humbling yourself. And the Word of God says in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So when you humble yourself by serving, God is the one who honors you and exalts you and lifts you up. Are you with me so far? Now, we got lots of books written on leadership. We got a lot of leadership conferences. Everybody wants to be a leader, but very few. There's not too many conferences on being a servant. When's the last time you went to a servant conference? Very few books on being a servant. And Jesus came to the earth to serve, to give, and left us an example that we would follow in His footsteps. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, in John chapter 13, He said this. He said, so if I am your teacher and I am your Lord, and I just washed your dirty feet, then you should follow my example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Now, the thing I hear is none of us have dirty feet, because you all took a shower. But if we can get you to go take a walk around maybe one of the swamps, I don't know, somewhere where there's manure or stuff like that, get your feet all full of poop, now you're ready for us to wash your feet. Jesus said a servant is not superior to his master. And an apostle is never greater than the one who sent him. So now put into practice what I've done for you, and you will experience a life of happiness, enriched with untold blessings. Huh? Jesus said, if you will follow my example, and if you will serve, you will experience a life of happiness, and your life will be enriched with untold blessings. And in fact, the Living Bible says this is the path to blessing. Now, you understand, I'm talking about a different kingdom. I'm not talking about the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world, you've got to push yourself. You've got to promote yourself. You got to, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to do this. I've got my dreams. That's the things in this, the way the world works. But the kingdom of God is very different. The kingdom of God, you humble yourself and God lifts you up. The kingdom of God, you serve someone else and you experience peace and blessing in your life. Are you with me? You see, Jesus modeled what it's like to be a servant. When you're a servant, no task is beneath you. I've had people come past and say, I'd love to serve in the church. Well, we need someone to do this. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, we really need someone over here. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, what do you want to do? I want to be on the stage and lead worship. Oh, so now we know what you're really about. You really don't want to serve. You want to be seen. When you have a servant's heart, greatness isn't, let me tell you, greatness isn't determined by how high you can go, it's determined by how low you can go. Can I tell you the reason why so many people missed when Jesus came to the earth the first time? They missed it because they were expecting him to come in high places. They were expecting him to set up his kingdom on the earth. They were expecting a king who would come and set up his kingdom. And can I tell you, that's going to happen. But that's called Jesus' second coming. He's coming back, and he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. He said he would. But the first time Jesus came, he came in obscurity. He came born in a manger. He came in the low places. Not the palace. He's born in the manger. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, I just came to worship the Lord today. I just want to be like Jesus. But the Lord that you're worshiping, that you want to be like, is washing feet. He had all the power in the world. The most influential person who ever lived. Yet he bowed down and he washed the disciples' feet. I mean, he could have easily hired somebody else to do it. He could have called an angel down from heaven and said, I want you to wash their feet. I don't feel like doing it. They stink today. Matthew's got some fungus on one of his toes. Peter needs some odor reader. I'm going to get an angel to come do it. No, Jesus willingly bowed down and washed their feet one by one. He did it as an example. So we would know that we are never too important to serve other people. And everyone said, in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, listen to this. It says, don't let self-promotion hide in your heart. But in authentic humility, put others first. Gosh. And view others as more important than yourself. I would say that we all have a challenge doing that. Because let me tell you, we all think we're the most important thing in the world. It's a challenge to think of other people more important than you. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And let me read it from that was the Passion. Let me read the New Living Translation. Same verses, different translation. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest. Take an interest in others too. The Message Translation says, put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Now, let me tell you, we are selfish by nature. We are born selfish. And we've been groomed our whole life to think that we are important and to think of ourselves first. We have not been groomed to be servants. But when you humble yourself and you serve, God lifts you up. Let's keep on reading in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Consider the example that Jesus has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. He existed in the form of God. Yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to a lowly servant. He humbled himself. You see, serving is humbling. He humbled himself and he became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and he was obedient. He was a perfect example. Even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, because of that humility, God exalted him. Are you with me so far? God exalted him, get ready for this, and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. To be like Jesus is to be a servant. Serving others is humbling yourself. And God promises he will reward you, he will exalt you, he will bless you, he will honor you. That's what I'm looking for. I want God to exalt me, bless me, take care of me. I want him to do it. In Matthew 23, verse 11, Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be the one who always serves others from the heart." Remember this, if you have a lofty opinion of yourself and you seek to be honored, you will be humbled. But if you have a modest opinion of yourself and you choose to humble yourself, you will be honored. You will be exalted. The more humility you walk in, the more you serve others, the higher God can take you. The Apostle Paul, who wrote, more than half the New Testament, he had this servant attitude. He considered himself a servant before he considered himself an apostle. I love the way Paul began most of his letters, like in Romans 1, verse 1. Look how he starts out. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Notice that he considered himself a servant before he considered himself an apostle. First thing he said, I'm a servant of Jesus. And I'm called to be an apostle. Most people today, I am apostle so-and-so. I am prophet whatever. Peter had the same attitude. Peter, in 2 Peter 1 verse 1, look how he starts his letter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. You see, you are never too high to where you can't bow down low and serve somebody else. When you serve other people, you actually are serving God. What you do for them, you're actually doing to the Lord. Do you know that? In Matthew 25, Jesus told this parable about his return, when he returns. Jesus spoke a lot about his return. And he said that he's going to sit on his throne and all the nations are going to be gathered before him. And he's going to separate the people, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he's going to place the sheep on his right hand. And he's going to place the goats on his left hand. And he'll say to the sheep on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the creation of the world. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I had no place to stay, you invited me into your home. And when I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was sick, you cared for me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me." And they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? And when did we ever see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we ever see you with no place to stay and invite you in? When did we ever see you naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you in prison and visit you? And Jesus will reply, when you did it for the least important of one of these, you did it for me. Now I'm getting to that. Just stay with me. Don't put scriptures until I get to it. I'll call it out. Then he's going to turn to the people on his left hand. People on his right hand are the sheep. He's going to turn to the people on his left hand. And he says, I'll say to those, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. Has anyone ever told you there's no hell? Has anyone ever heard anyone say there's no hell? I heard preachers tell people there's no hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus spoke about the eternal fire of hell that was prepared for the devil and his demons. The truth of the matter is God never made it for people. But if you want to go there, you can go. And if you don't know Jesus and you don't follow him, when you die, there's two places, heaven and hell. There's no other choice. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And hell is a real place. So Jesus says to these people, get away from me. Get in, into the eternal flame, prepared for the devil and his demons. Because when I was hungry, you wouldn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you wouldn't give me anything to drink. When I was a stranger, you refused me any hospitality. When I was naked, you wouldn't clothe me. When I was sick in prison, you didn't visit me. And they would reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And I will answer them, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers, you were refusing to help me, and they shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now let me ask you, which group you want to be in? I think it's a pretty easy question to answer. I want to be on the right side. How about you? Every time you serve others, God sees it and he says, you're doing it unto me, and he rewards you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of my humble disciples, I promise you, he'll not go unrewarded. In other words, God will reward you for even the smallest act of service that you do. Giving somebody a cup of water. I needed some water today. I was on the front row and I had no water and I'm thirsty. I'll have to drink at the end of it. So if you gave me some water, you'll be rewarded. When you go out of your way to go pick up that friend, you come early and serve in children's church, or you stay late at work to help that co-worker, let me tell you, God's keeping the records, and nothing goes unnoticed. He says you will surely be rewarded. But you see, here's the key. Don't look for people or to people to pay you back, because sometimes people, they may not even say thank you. You may not get the credit that you deserve. Maybe nobody's given you any applause. But let me assure you, when you serve others, there is an applause for you in heaven. Almighty God sees your sacrifice and he rewards you. You don't need people cheering you on. You don't need somebody clapping for you. Because you know what? You're not doing it for people. I'm doing it for God. Everything that I do. Now, I appreciate when people come and, Pastor Steve, that message really touched me. Really, I appreciate that. But that's not why I do it. I do everything I do because I am doing it unto the Lord. I want to please him. Ephesians 6 verse 7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know the Lord will reward you. He will reward each one for whatever good you do. I know that God, even if people don't recognize what I do or reward what I do, God recognizes it, and God will reward me, and He's the best rewarder there is. Amen. God sees you volunteering at church to serve. He sees you working in the nursery every Sunday. He sees you taking your neighbor to their doctor's appointment on your day off. When you serve others, God promises you're going to be great in the kingdom. And none of us are too important to serve. We're never too big. We're never too influential. In Galatians 6 verse 7, it says, if you think you're too important to help someone in need, you're only fooling yourself. You really are nobody. In the kingdom of God, if you just live for yourself and you're not interested in serving anyone else, in God's kingdom, you're nobody. Now, you might be somebody in the world. But in the kingdom of God, the people who are the greatest are those who get down and humble themselves and serve others. Amen. I love the story of Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A. Anyone have had a Chick-fil-A lately? You worked at Chick-fil-A? Man, Cathy Truett, or excuse me, Truett Cathy, he founded Chick-fil-A. He went home to be with the Lord in 2014. He was 93 years old. He was worth $6.6 billion when he passed. His company, Chick-fil-A, does $5 billion in sales annually. And they closed on Sunday. Every one of them closed on Sunday. Can you believe that a restaurant would close on Sunday? It's not one of the biggest days for people to go out and eat, right? Sunday. They close on Sunday. And yet, here you have Truett Cathy, worth $6.5 billion, founder of Chick-fil-A. Every Sunday, he taught Sunday school class at his church for 52 years. If you want to know where he was on Sunday, just go to church. He was teaching eighth graders the Bible for 52 years. He was serving others. I love that story. I love that example. You're never too important to serve. Because I've had people come into the church, I think they've got the attitude they're too important to serve. They're used to everyone serving them. Amen. Here's what I've learned. It takes a big person to do something small. It takes humility to say, I don't have to do this. It's not required of me. No one's going to fault me if I don't. But I know in order to serve God, I need to serve other people. I need to have this mindset of serving others. If you want to have a great life, if you, let me tell you, a great life, happy life, fulfilled life, it doesn't just come from success and having a bigger house and having more accomplishments. All of that's great. God wants you to be blessed. Don't misunderstand me. But if you're going to be truly fulfilled, you've got to develop this attitude of serving others. Because that God created you to serve. God created you to be a blessing to someone else. God created you to make someone else's life better. Somebody needs what you have. In 1 Peter 4 verse 10, it tells us every believer has received grace gifts. So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of God's grace. We've all received gifts. And the Bible says we're to use them to serve one another. Soleil was singing here today. She's serving us with the gift God gave her, because she had to go and prepare and practice and get that song ready and then get up here and overcome her shyness and sing it out. She's serving you. Right now, I'm serving you with the gift God gave me to teach His Word. I'm not out there teaching motivation seminars or doing coaching, life coaching courses. I'm using the gift God gave me to serve you by teaching you God's Word today. We all got different gifts. And God wants you to use that gift to serve others. So let me ask you, who are you serving? Who are you lifting up? Who are you being good to? Be on the lookout for ways that you can be a blessing, because God, He brings people across your path. so you can be a blessing to them. And I pray today, Lord, help us to have compassion. Help us to not be so busy and preoccupied with our own lives that we can't serve somebody else. Let us not be so consumed with ourselves that we don't think about other people. That's what God's asking us today. Will you serve others? Will you help lighten their load? Will you help make someone else's dream come true? Will you go out of your way to be a blessing? Because let me tell you, helping other people is the closest thing to the heart of God. Jesus said, what you do unto the least of these, you do it unto me. In Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, don't get tired of helping others. You'll be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. We should help people whenever we can, especially, say especially if they are followers of the Lord. The Passion Bible says, take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. So we should be a blessing to everybody, but we should especially be a blessing to brothers and sisters in the family of faith. People in your spiritual family, be a blessing to them. That's what the Bible says. That means if I'm going to be a blessing to you, surely every one of us should be serving on a team at church. If we're all going to be a blessing to one another and be on a lookout for ways, this is a wonderful opportunity to use the gift God gave you and serve by serving in children's ministry, serving in the media department, serving on the usher team, serving on the prayer team, serving in the youth ministry, getting involved, using your gift. We should all be on a team. We should all be serving at church, every single person. And everyone who's serving on a team said amen. Because can I tell you the facts? Generally, in most churches around the world, about 10% of the congregation actually do all the serving. And the other 90% come and sit there on Sunday and enjoy it. Now, in this church, we got way more than 10%. Very thrilled that we have way more. We probably got 50% of our members, or maybe at least 50%, I would say, serving on some team at some time. But you know what? I'm still not satisfied. Because I want, guess how much I want? I want 100%. Not for our benefit, for your benefit. In Hebrews 6, verse 10, it says, God is not unjust to overlook your work and the love that you've shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. God is not unjust. He doesn't overlook anything. You may say, well, Pastor Steve, I just don't feel appreciated. I'm back there in the children's church, and I just don't know if anyone really appreciates me. And God does. He doesn't overlook one thing you did. I think about all the volunteers who serve every week here at Ascend Church. Our media team do such a great job. Such a great job, don't they? And most of them, everything they do in media, they learned here. I mean, Miguel told me when he first came to the church, he didn't know anything about media. Now he knows all those things, man. He knows stuff I don't know. He knows how to run the screen. He knows how to run the lights. He knows how to do all this stuff, the cameras, the live stream. Learned it all here. And now he's taught. There's a whole team of people that do this. I thank God for the people, the ushers. When you walk in on a Sunday, there's Dimini at the door. Welcome to Ascend Church. Right? I think about the kids' church. They every week they come early and they prepare the lesson and they teach our kids about Jesus and about God's word. I think about the musicians and singers that get here on Sunday. At 8:15, I think they start rehearsing. Well, of course, they're practicing all week long. They're rehearsing in their own time all week long. Because let me tell you, to sing one song, not as easy as you think. It's a little harder than you may think. Even if you've got a good voice, it's a lot of work. I think of them every week after week coming and using their gift to be a blessing to us. I think about the prayer warriors. They come here early on Sunday and they're up in the prayer room and they're praying before you even get here. They're praying that God will touch you every week. I think about our Connect group leaders. During this week, we'll have groups meeting, small groups meeting at people's homes, and we have Connect group leaders that faithfully, week after week, take care of their Connect group members. I think about our youth leaders, Abel and Michelle. We got youth tonight, 5 p.m. We have a youth service. These people that come early on their day off, they could be home resting, enjoying their hobbies. Instead, what are they doing? They're serving, they're helping, they're giving, they're being a blessing. You see, when you received Jesus in your heart, you became a part of the body of Christ. And God has a function and a part, and you have a place in the body that you are to fulfill. Are you with me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Say, I've been given a spiritual gift. Say, I've been given gifts. In verse 12, it says, the human body's got many parts. But the many parts make up one body, one whole body. And so it is with the body of Christ. If you want to understand the body of Christ, just look at your human body. It says, yes, the body's got many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, does that mean it's any less a part of the body? If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If your whole body were an eye, how would you hear? And if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. You can't see my heart, but it's really important. You see my fingers, you see these rings, my rings that I like. My fingers get the prominence. They got the rings on. But you know, you can chop my hands off and I could live, but you pull my heart out, I'm gone. And there, the body of Christ is like that. Sometimes certain parts have more prominence, but that doesn't mean it's more important. It says, the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care, and we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. While the more honorable parts don't require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to parts that are less, have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for one another. In other words, we realize, I need you. You need me. Amen. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And all of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a necessary part. Say, I'm a necessary part of the body of Christ. And Paul wrote the same thing to the church in Rome in Romans 12, verse 4. He said, in the human body, there's many parts, many organs, each with a unique function. And so it is with the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. Each part of the body contributes. You are part of the body of Christ. You have a function, and God wants every one of us to contribute. That's why I say every one of us should be on a team and every one of us should be serving in some way. Listen, the Message Bible says each of us finds our meaning as a part of His body. Do you know that you will discover God's meaning and purpose for your life when you take your place in the body of Christ and when you do what God has called you, when you begin to function in the body of Christ? That's where you really find your meaning in life. That's where I discovered my meaning in life, when I started serving at Pastor Theo's church. when I was 16 years old. I became a youth leader because he asked me. And then when I was 18, I became an usher. And then at 19, he asked me to teach in the Bible school. And as I started to just do whatever I was asked to do, I began to discover God's meaning for my life. You'll never find God's meaning for your life while you're living for yourself. Well, I don't want to serve in church, Pastor Steve. I don't want to come early, Pastor Steve. I just want to come and sit and hear an encouraging message and go home. You'll never find your meaning until you're willing to serve. Every one of us is a part of the body of Christ. And just like with our human body, every one of us, we have a function. And we need to take our place. Because that's where you find your meaning, your purpose. When you take your place and you begin to serve others in the body of Christ, that's when you find your purpose. We need you to serve in God's house. But more importantly than what we need you to serve, you need to serve in God's house. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to serve other people. Amen. When you serve others, God promises you're going to be great in the kingdom. You're never too important to serve. You're never too big. You're never too influential. What is it that often stops people from serving? The barrier to serving others is selfishness. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 13, my brothers and sisters, God chose you to be free. But don't use your freedom as an excuse to do what pleases your sinful self. Instead, serve each other with love. Do you know what stops people from serving? Because I'm too focused on me. The number one reason that we don't have the time or the energy to serve others is because of selfishness. We're so preoccupied with our own agenda, our own dreams, our own pleasures. Only a small minority of people actually use their life to serve others. Getting kind of quiet in here. Did I say something maybe that touched a nerve or something? And some people don't serve because what they're being asked to do seems insignificant to them or seems beneath them. But let me tell you, on the way to the big things that God has in store for you, He will test you with small things. In Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus said this, the one who manages the little he's been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibility. You see, you've got to be faithful with the little God gives you, and He tests you, and then He gives you greater responsibility. Amen? If you're faithful in little things, God will promote you. Can I tell you, success is not an elevator. It's a staircase. Step by step by step by step. God leads you step by step. Don't ever discount doing something small. Greeting at the door. Well, I want to serve Pastor Steve, but I'm not going to come early just to stand at the door and greet people. Really? I don't think that's important. I need to be doing something more important than that. Is that a fact? How about what the Bible says? How about King David? You think King David was maybe somebody to be admired? Was King David a great king? Absolutely. Look what King David said. Psalm 84, verse 10. A single day spent in your temple is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a doorman at the temple of my God than live in the palaces of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorman at the house of my God than live in a palace of wickedness. Listen to the Message Bible. One day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats thousands spent on Greek island beaches. I would rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the palace of sin. I would rather scrub floors in the house of God than be honored by this world as someone important in the palace of sin. Because let me tell you, nothing you do in God's house is insignificant. Are you willing to serve even if it seems insignificant? Because that's what David did. David was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king when he was 15 years old. But he didn't go and sit on the throne. He went back and served as a shepherd, looking after a few sheep. He's been anointed. The prophet said, I'm anointing this as the next king. Then his father asked David to take lunch to his brothers who were in the army of Israel. And David could have said, what do you mean? You want me to serve my brother's lunch? Don't you know? I've been anointed to be king. They should be serving me. Can I tell you the day would come when they would be serving him? But David was willing to do a mundane task of take some bread and cheese, some sandwiches, some iced tea to his brothers who were fighting in the army of Israel. Now, when David gets there to take his brothers lunch, plus he could have said, Dad, my brothers don't even like me. They mean to me. They tease me. They make fun of me. Why should I be taking them and serving them lunch? But he was willing to do it. And when he got down to take lunch to his brothers, what happened? He heard Goliath taunting the armies of Israel, saying, send me a man that I may fight him. And David volunteered. He said, I'll fight him. And you all know what happened. He defeated Goliath. And he was rewarded. What was he rewarded? He was given the king's daughter to marry, became his wife. And even better than that, he was exempted from taxes for life. Now, I'm not sure which I'd take first, the exempted from taxes or the king's daughter. David went down to serve his brother's lunch, not realizing that this is going to be the path that's going to lead to his promotion. That overnight, he's going to become part of the royal family. Overnight, his whole family line would be changed forever. Overnight. You never know where your serving will lead. The reason many people never find themselves. You ever heard someone tell you, I'm just trying to find myself? The reason they never find themselves, the reason they never discover their destiny, their purpose, is because they're too important to serve somebody else. I'll close with this. We were taught this at Bible school. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, that's what we were taught. Do it with all your might. What that means is, whatever opportunity you have to serve, do it with all your heart. No matter how small, no matter how insignificant it may seem, do it with all your heart. This attitude of serving, it should start in our home. This isn't just something we do when we come to church. Well, I serve at my church on Sunday morning. This is a lifestyle. It starts in your home. It's great to serve other people. I mean, that's good. But make sure you serve your own family. Husbands, we ought to be serving our wife. Wives, we ought to be serving our husbands. Husband, when's the last time you said, honey, I'm going to the kitchen. Can I get you anything? Can I bring you anything? Honey, let me go run and get your car filled with gas so you don't have to do it tomorrow. Let me help the kids do their homework. You take the night off. Be a blessing to your spouse. I really believe if we had the servant mentality of serving one another, more of our marriages would stay together. Some husbands expect their wife to do everything for them. I'm not going to serve her. I want her to serve me. Cook for me, clean for me, bring my food, make sure my clothes are washed, keep this house clean. That's not a wife, that's a maid. You might as well call the cleaning service. You can just hire someone to do that. If you want a wife who's a friend, a lover, someone to make your life great, you've got to serve that woman, just like she's serving you. This is a two-way street. Am I preaching good today? So now, you've got to make her feel special. Maybe even bring her breakfast in bed. I don't know if I've ever done that. Have I ever brought breakfast in bed? I don't think so. Because you're up way before I am. That's why. How am I going to bring her breakfast in bed? I'm always up before I have to. Pick up your stinky clothes. Help with the kids. This is not a dictatorship. It is a partnership. Marriage is a partnership. Well, Pastor Steve, the Bible says, it's amazing how men know this one scripture. They don't know anyone else, but they know this one. Wives must submit to their husband, the Bible says. That's the only scripture a lot of men know. Read the same scripture. You can't just take one verse. You've got to read it in context. It says, wives, submit to your husband. And it says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. You talk about serving. Husband, God wants you to love your wife the way Jesus loves the church. He literally gave his life for the church. Let me tell you, if you start serving your wife, start serving your husband, you'll see your marriage go to a whole new level. Amen, somebody. The greatest ones are those who serve others, those who serve in God's house. You are most like Jesus when you're serving. It's the key. Serving is the key to true happiness, fulfillment, purpose. It's God's path to promotion, prominence. If serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. Serving is humbling yourself. The more humility you walk in, the more you'll serve others, the higher God can take you in your life. Amen. Whatever you do for the least, you do for Jesus. That's how you become great in the kingdom of God. Take your place in the body of Christ and serve. That's how you find your meaning. This Wednesday night, we have our team meeting. We're having our team meeting. I hope you're coming. You're coming this Wednesday night? Wave your hand at me if you're coming Wednesday night to our team meeting, 7 p.m. Just keep waving and just keep looking around. Why aren't you waving your hand? Every single, after this message, if I can't get you here after this message, then I don't know what to do. If you can hear all this today and say, I'm not coming Wednesday. I'm going to be on the team. I don't want to serve. You need to be here on Wednesday night. This is important. We're having a team meeting on Wednesday night. I'm going to speak to our team this Wednesday night. If you serve on any team, you need to be here Wednesday night. If you don't serve on a team, you need to be here on Wednesday night. We need you to be here on Wednesday night. It's going to be an important night. I'm going to ask everybody in the team, I'm asking you to bring a plate of eats. Let's see if your team can do better than the other team. We're going to have some good food to eat Wednesday night. Amen. This Wednesday at 7 p.m., team night. And we want to see you here. Tell your neighbor, Wednesday, 7 p.m., team night. Don't miss it. You need to be here Wednesday, 7 p.m. for team night. Amen. Thank you, Miguel. Is that Miguel back there? Is that the end of it? My sermon is over? I'm finished? All right. Bow your head for a moment. Would you do that? Father, we thank you today that your word speaks to us. Your word guides us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You came as an example to us of what it means to be a servant. You laid your life down. You made yourself of no reputation. You took the form, the attitude of a servant, Lord. I pray, Father, that every one of us would have that same mindset, that we are here to serve others, to be a blessing. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray right now before we close. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right, all is well between you and God today, if you were to die tonight, you're not sure what would happen to you, let me tell you the good news is you can be sure. You can walk out of this place today knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can walk out of this place knowing that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come out. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to be sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I'm going to ask you quickly just to slip your hand up high. Just lift your hand up high. Say, Pastor Steve, here's my hand. Include me. Pray for me too. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Amen. All right, I don't see anybody with their hand raised. So I'm going to ask my wife, Pastor Jill, is going to come. We're going to give to the Lord today. You know, Jesus said you can't serve God and money. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to be devoted to one, despise the other. God wants to be first in our life. Amen? So let's get ready as we get ready to give to the Lord.
I really appreciate that message. You know, often we hear that scripture and we believe we have missions. We do things for the homeless. We cook meals for people. We do all of those things. That's important. But we really got to understand that those scriptures where Jesus said, when you visited me, you know, when they say, well, you visited me in prison, when you, it's not just random prison visitation. It was talking about the persecuted Christians. It was talking, first of all, the household of God. So first of all, so we don't always think of, well, let me look for someone who has less than me or someone. That is part of it, but it's not first. First is the household of God. Amen? And so I love that. I love that. But as we get ready to give, those that are watching online, you can go ahead. There's a place for you to give, real simple. And I was thought about the fact that it's Labor Day weekend. I mean, we've got some hard laborers in this church. All kinds of professions, hardworking people. And I thought about this scripture in Haggai. It says, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet. Yeah, it should be there. Can you put it up, the Haggai scripture? Got it? Okay, so the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son. What a lot of names. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Basically, the word of the prophet came. This is what the Lord says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but you never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You put on clothes but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains in a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains and on the grain and the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Now that's a real strong scripture. The prophet comes and he says, you're working, but you never seem to get ahead. It's like you're putting your money in a bag full of holes. It's like whatever you try just gets blown away. You know, you just get ahead a little bit and you got to replace all your tires. You just get a little bit of money aside and something else breaks, right? And I think we've all been there at some time. But I want us to think about this, the contrast of that scripture compared to Malachi. Because God, what was God's point here? God's point was, put my house first. He's like, the reason you're having trouble in this area of getting ahead, even though you're laboring hard, you're not getting ahead. And the reason, he's saying, the prophet says, this is the word of the Lord. Think of my house first. Think of my house first. And you think about the contrast of Malachi 3, which we often read in when we receive the offering. But God was talking to them about his house again. If you read the previous chapters, he's saying, what about my house? You're all taking care of yourselves, but you're not taking care of my house. Then he said in Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. That's the difference to withholding that we see in Haggai. He's like, because you haven't done it, it's been closed up. Heaven's been closed up. And now he says here, when you bring and you put my God, my house first, that I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not even be room enough to receive it. And I just want to encourage you with that. God cares about your house. He cares about you getting ahead. He cares about you not having a bag full with holes in it, right? And he cares about his house. So he just reminds us, put my house first. And I want to encourage you, if you've had a hard time and you've said, you know what, I've got to hold on to everything I've got because I've got to get ahead, do it God's way. Just do it. Trust God. Trust God. He says, test me. If you put my house first, that's when you'll see the blessings in your life. Amen. So as we prepare to give and to tithe, those that are watching, go ahead and give. There's various ways for us to give. They're up on the screen here, real easy. We also have a Zelle option, which there is a code to scan in the lobby. If you have a hard time with that, just let one of us know, and we'll help you with it. But we're going to pray over the offering. We thank you to all those faithful tithers and givers. Amen. We pray and believe God over your income, your lives, your increase. Father, we thank you for each and every person here today, for those watching, for those giving, for the faithful tithers. Thank you, Father, that you open the windows of heaven above them, that you pour out blessing for them. I thank you that this week doors of opportunity will open for them. Father, favor with God and man, with their boss. Thank you for promotion, for increase. Thank you that you put them above others, that you push them forward for promotions. Thank you for new contracts in the name of Jesus. Father, we trust you. We put your house first in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Super quiet. We've got this week, we have youth tonight at 5 p.m. We really appreciate that. And then on Thursday night, we have prayer. And if you haven't been to prayer, come and join us. It's from 7 till 9, but you can come and leave at your own convenience. You know, some people can't come for a full 2 hours. Maybe they come for part of that time. But something's really taking place. Prayer changes things. It changes the whole atmosphere, you know. We were so blessed the last prayer meeting, right?
Absolutely. All right, so don't forget that Wednesday, as you've heard me say, we're having team night. I'm encouraging every single person in this church, if this is your church home, to be here on Wednesday night, even if you're not on a team, because this is a great way to meet the team leaders, get on a team. I'm going to be preaching this Wednesday night. We're going to worship. We're going to preach. We're going to eat. We're going to fellowship Wednesday night. How many of you invited someone to come to church today with you? Wave your hand. If you invited someone this last week, wave your hand. Let's do a count. This is how many people invited someone. Hold up your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Number 10. Excellent. How many think we can do better next week? I mean, we can have more than 10 people invite someone next week. What do you think? Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I want to encourage you. Listen, if our church is going to grow, it's going to be for one reason, because you invited someone. Amen? I want to see every seat filled. How about you? I know this is a long weekend. We've got people away, but I want to see every seat filled. Not just once on Sunday. I want to see it filled multiple times. Why? Because I want to see people get saved and come to know the Lord and rescue them out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. That's why. So I'm asking you to please, when you came in today, you were given an invite card, a little black invitation. I'm asking every one of us, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Commit to invite someone every week to come to church. Every single week, invite someone to come to church. They may not come, but that's okay. You just invite them. Say, I'll do it. Amen. Father, we thank you as we go today. We thank you that you've called us. You've called us, Lord, to follow your example, to serve others, to be a blessing to others. I thank you, Lord, this week as we go out of here, we have this mindset that we are here to serve. We are here to be a blessing. We're here to think of others and not just ourselves. And I thank you, Father, for using each of us this week to invite, to reach out to someone, invite, bring them into your house to tell them the good news about Jesus. I thank you, Lord, this church is a soul-winning church. I thank you, Lord, we have a passion and a love and a desire to win lost people. And I thank you, Father, this week that you're going to use each and every one of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night, team night. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time. Good.